Thank you so much, and so happy to be of service. I was on vacation and I couldn't do it last week, but I was excited and happy, to be able to be the speaker coming back off of vacation. I have to be honest to say I didn't eat as well as I would like to have on vacation, and but I did, oh, as I say, my higher power did guide me, and I kept my program in mind, of course, while I was away. But anyway, I want to just tell a little bit about my story and how higher power and turning my will over to my higher power has guided me to live a saner and happier life after coming into program. I guess when all these things I look now, all these they talk about different kinds of medications and things like that that they talk about that are all on TV, like that's the rage today. But one of the things, I'm not promoting that at all or whatever, but one of the things that they do talk about a lot, I keep hearing, is about the obsession of thinking about food all the time. And that was something, I used to feel guilty about that or not understand that, but I've come to understand that that was part of the illness, that I, from the time of it being a very young child, I thought about food all the time. And, with other kids, they didn't. They were, take a few bites and keep on moving. That wasn't the case for me. So looking back on, I know that, I had the illness of compulsive overeating from the time that I was a young child. And but that's not something I understood for a very, very long time. I started picking up weight and just, opportunities to eat with different family members came up, and I did. And it wasn't until, my doctor said when I was about 6 years old, Tony's really picking up a lot of weight. And that's when it was a no, we have to watch what she eats. And so I became what they call a sneaky eater. And so I was always, finding ways to sneak and eat and, eat before, I was a latchkey kid, and I grew up in the late 60s and early 70s. And so, came home from school, and, when I got old enough that I begged my mom to let me come home by myself. And I think part of that was so I could have some alone time in the house. And as soon as I learned how to cook something, I would be making something to eat. I'd clean it up before my mom got home. And yet I was still ready for dinner, whatever she cooked. She was a great cook. And whatever she cooked, I was still ready for dinner. And so when I was about 13, and getting ready for high school, my mom, who she had had some weight issues, and so she began to, well, she was concerned. She was like, you're going to go off to high school, and it's you. I don't think you're going to have a good time because, people are going to be mean to you. And I had already experienced, really horrible, horrible teasing in elementary school. And these were kids I had known since the time I was 5 and 6 years old, and I still was teased horribly. I didn't have a lot of friends. And I had a couple friends in school, and I had these two little girls in my neighborhood, and they were all what they called chubby back then. And so those were really, majority of the friends I had. Other friends, I'm friendly with them, but they used to tease me a lot. But anyway, I begged my mom to let me go to this doctor that one of my friends, the other little chubby girl, and she had lost weight, and she went to a doctor that gave diet pills. And I begged my mom, and so I can't put my mom down at all, because she was like, oh, I don't know about that. But I just begged her. I said, oh, mommy, look, Marsha lost all this weight. Can I please go to the doctor? They say it's supervised medically. And my mom knew the doctor. He was a neighborhood doctor. And so she said, okay, we'll go. We'll go. And so I went, and then another friend, her and her mom. So it was like the two moms brought their little chubby daughters. And we went there, and we got weighed and got our little diet sheet and got the pills. And I took them, and I followed a very rigid, rigid diet, and I lost the weight. And I actually kept it off through high school, and I kept it off, majority of off through college. I mean, I struggled, but I basically kept it off. And so, just like my mom said, I went off to high school and I wasn't overweight. I had friends, I had a boyfriend, I socialized, and all the things that, I thought were important to me. Same thing in college. And then when I got out of college, I had dated this guy and didn't work out. We didn't get married, but it was for the best. We would have been divorced. And so I think I was really upset about that relationship not working out and the idea of being married and everything. And I just started gaining weight. I came home and just kind of wallowed and just started gaining weight. I just gained, oh, each year I must have gained probably 20 pounds a year till probably after maybe 10 years, 10 or so years, I had put on probably 150 pounds. As each season would change and how it happened, it's like this the craziness of it. The season would change. And so, of course, when you pack away your winter clothes and your summer clothes or whatever, and you pack them away and everything, and then, the next season rolls around. And I knew it would fit the clothes from the year before because the clothes from the current season were starting to get tight. So, say it was winter, I knew the clothes I was wearing were starting to get tight. And so I knew I wasn't going to be able to wear them once for last year. So they just stayed packed away. So I eventually gave them away. And I would say, oh, the style has changed. I need to buy new clothes. And I would just tell myself. And look, I look back on it and say, the insanity of it. Like, my goodness, why did I tried to trick myself in thinking that it was nothing wrong with that. It was like, oh, they're old clothes. Yeah, but their old clothes are size smaller. Like, I never would even look at them. Like, I would brainwash myself to think, don't worry about it. Just don't worry about it. Just keep it moving. I eventually met my husband. I got married. I got pregnant. We got married, a little reverse order. And I developed gestational diabetes. And so I was very, very careful during my pregnancy, and because I had a reason to be careful for the baby. And I actually lost weight when I was pregnant. I lost a lot of weight. And when I delivered the baby, I was about 50 pounds less than when I got pregnant. And I thought to myself, this is great. Let me just stay this way. This is so fabulous. Of course, I didn't. I gained it all back. And I started to develop, got full-blown type 2 diabetes, a vascular disease. Like, the medical problems started piling on after that. And I was just like, give me another pill. I started taking more, two different type of diabetes pills. I started wearing compression stockings because my legs were swelling. I was taking two different high blood pressure medication pills. All of this, it seemed like nothing. Just give me another pill to fix it. If a pill can fix it, go ahead. And I just continued down that pathway. And, like an ostrich with a head in the sand or something. And so it wasn't until after I had two dear friends pass away because of complications with being morbidly overweight and amputations, that I say to myself, I want to live. I have this little daughter and I want to raise her and I want to live, and I cannot. I've seen with my own eyes two of my friends in the ground dead, and I was no different than they were. No different than they were. And so I decided at that time to have weight loss surgery. I don't regret having it. I fully acknowledge it was human aid. But I didn't know anything else at the time. I didn't know about program at the time. And so I lost the weight. And things were great for a couple of years. I thought, I'm fixed. This is fabulous. But then, because of the insanity and of the illness, it started creeping its way back into my life. And I started thinking about food all the time. And I said, oh my God, I cannot gain this weight back. I cannot. I have a life now. I'm happy. I can, move around. I'm off my diabetes medication. I'm not wearing vascular stockings anymore. The surgeon, they released me. I can't go back. And so I knew some people who were in program. And by the time I knew some people in program. And but I didn't know much about it. I knew very little bit about it at all. And I realized much later, I stuck my head in the door a couple times at a hospital. They had OA, but I didn't stay. I didn't stay long enough to work the steps. I didn't stay long enough to know really anything about how it worked. So family member actually said, just try it. Try it, see if you like it. And my goodness, I got on a meeting. I like what I heard. The next day, I asked someone to sponsor me. I did big book study, and I started working the steps. And I started to experience a freedom that I had never known. And I always felt like I was a religious person, a spiritual person, that I trusted in God, that it was my higher power. But I realized that I wasn't really trusting in my higher power like I thought I was. I was living in fear. I was using food as a solution. I was, when things didn't go my way, I tried to control things. I could not believe that. I thought, sweet me, no, I'm not a controlling person, but I was. I was a controlling person, wanted to have things my way, but I did it in a very sneaky, sly way, like so sweet and nice all the time, but yet I wanted my things my way. And so I learned things about myself. I learned the dishonesty at which I was living my life, and I just came to, it's like, like this, people say wearing rose-colored glasses. My eyes like had been shielded. They came clean, and I was able to see about myself, to ask people to forgive me for the wrongs. I didn't think I'd wronged anyone, and I realized I had wronged quite a few people because I was blaming other people when things didn't go my way. And so I had to ask people to forgive myself, and I had to forgive my own self because I did not understand the things that I was doing. And so once I came to understand that, I had to forgive myself and then ask other people to forgive me. And I was grateful that pretty much most people did. I mean, of course, everything, you can't always have everything and like it. I mean, one a relationship didn't, I didn't get forgiven, but I know what I did wrong, and I pray, that that person will at some point, or if not, all I can know is I've done the best that I can. And so again, like I said, I work with my recovered sponsor. I come on meetings. I do service, and I'm not going to say that things are perfect. They're not perfect. Things happen in life. My husband was sick recently, and I really fell into a lot of fear, and I had to really, as they say, pick myself up by my bootstraps and say, wait a minute, what do you have? You have tools of recovery. When you try to rely on yourself, what is going to happen? Nothing good. Nothing good at all. And I had to just stop myself, get on the phone, start doing some outreach, get on some meetings, and start working my program. And that's what we do. We have our tools of recovery. We work with our recovery sponsors. We get on our meetings. We give service. That is how we give back what is so freely given to us. So no, things are not going to be perfect every day. Things are not going to be roses, but we've got tools to work with so that we don't have to use food as a solution. So again, I'm not saying everything's perfect. I'm not saying there aren't times when food kind of might try to get a hold of me, but I have tools now. If nothing takes over completely and just leaves me out there like it did before. And so each day, like I said, a bad day in program is so much better than even a good day before. And I'm just so grateful, and grateful for the opportunity to share, my journey. I continue to work with other people, and that's a joy too, to share and carry the message of recovery. It's such a joy. Such a joy to do so, and I feel honored to have this opportunity. I don't know if I have any more time. My name is Tony F. Again, I'm a grateful, recovered, available sponsor, and I live in Eastern Standard Time in Pennsylvania. And my number is 215-239. 8660. You could call or text any time. If I have time, I'll talk a little more, but I don't know where
You
I'm
have
going
5 minutes more. You have another 5 minutes.
Oh, I have another 5 minutes. Okay.
You do.
Okay.
Have at it.
Have at it. Okay. So I guess I'll say maybe a little bit about when I came into program. So when I came into program again, and I started working with my recovered sponsor, And I started doing, I said, as I said, the big book study, and I started working the steps. And I started to, you know, again, look at my resentments and fears and horns. And as I said, mentioned earlier, I didn't think I had horns. I remember doing my inventory and saying to myself, where am I harmed anyone else? I actually felt like I was the victim all the time. I was like, where have I harmed anyone else? I'm way too sweet and nice for that. What do you mean I've harmed someone else? And my sponsor said to me, let's pray about this. I think she had to hold this one back from laughing at me. Let's just pray about this. And, you know, the miracle of it is once I started to pray and say, you know, God, my higher power, help me to see what I'm unable to see. And once I did that, I was able to see, as I mentioned, my behavior. I was able to see the times where I played a victim and where I spent time talking about other people, assassination of character. When things didn't go my way or I felt like, you know, I would say, oh, well, this person, like I had a supervisor who, you know, if I didn't like what he had to say about something, I would go and tell other people. I would talk about him horribly to other people. And I would say, oh, he did this. And they would go, he did that to you? Oh, my goodness. And they would say, oh, Tony's too sweet and nice for that. Oh, my God, he's such a horrible person. And I would say, oh, yes, he is. Yes, he is. And I look back on it, I cannot believe that I used to do that. And so when I came into program, I thought it was all about the food. I thought when I came in that I was going to get help with this food problem. So I would stop this food obsession, stop this, you know, stop thinking about food all the time, stop the, put the brakes on a weight gain. I just thought that that's what I was going to walk away with. If I could just get that, then that'll be great. That'll be great. But what I didn't realize that I was going to learn about myself. I was going to learn about that I don't control it. I don't control the show. You know, my higher power controls the show. All I can do is turn my will and my life over to my higher power. And yes, sometimes I might be fearful about something. I might worry about something. But that's not within my control. And if I sit around trying to control it, then nothing's going to be good. Nothing good is going to come of that. So I learned so much about myself and program, so much more than food. And also learned that some of those things are the things that caused me to use food as a solution. When I was irritable and discontented about something, I would go to the food because that was my go-to. That was my history. That was my illness. And so when I learned, I don't have to do that any longer. When I'm fearful, I've got my tools of recovery. As I mentioned, I'll reach out to my sponsor, reach out to fellowship, the beautiful, beautiful fellowship of everybody who's on this line. Everyone that's in line, whether you're saying anything or not, you're just listening. All of the wonderful people that are on this line that are here to be supportive of us. And once I learned that, I was, I don't have to be alone anymore. I've got people willing to help me, to support me, and I can live in recovery. And so, you know, that's the beauty of recovery. And so that allows me to wake up joyful. And allows me to wake up, you know, willing to, you know, work this program one day at a time. And the other thing I'll say is, because I go, I don't have to worry about what's going on tomorrow, next week. I just know one day at a time. That's all I have to do is one day at a time. And again, it doesn't mean things are going to work out great. Like I said, everything's not going to be roses because it's not. But I've got the tools of recovery and I'm not alone. I don't walk this journey alone any longer. And that I pass. So get all of my number one time, Tony. Yes, 215-239-8660.